All right, if you have your Bible, turn it to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then just hang in there. Be patient. We'll get there. We're going to touch on several scriptures, but that's the primary text this morning. And while you're turning there, I just want to just call something out just to put your mind at ease. Someone came up to me this morning and said, "Pastor T, is that a stamp on your hand? Were you out at the club last night?" I said, "Yes, it is a stamp on my hand, but no, I was not clubbing last night. I was at my son's basketball tournament over in Kansas City. And, you know, my boy Aaron, he loves basketball. He loves the Jayhawks. And come on, it's a good day when the Jayhawks win a Rupp Arena. He loves the Jayhawks. He loves basketball. And he has a dream and a passion to be a professional basketball player. And come on, when our kids are young, can we just breathe on their dreams? There's plenty of time to kind of feel out and negotiate and kind of help them make adjustments as we determine what he's gifted and called and graced to do. But when your kids are young, can you just breathe on their dreams and not, I just don't think I'd be a very good dad if I already started to tell them how big of a long shot that is. Now, I should tell them it's going to require a lot of work and discipline, and he should trust God for the plans and pattern of his life, but I'm breathing on that dream. But last night I realized he's a little bit closer to being a professional basketball player than I realized. I pay to watch him play basketball. I pay, they stamp. And then you go back the next day to the second day of the tournament, they change the color of the stamp and they make you pay again. So someone's making some money, I just don't know that it's him yet. But no, just kidding. I understand it takes a lot to pull those things off and the facilities and the coaches and the refs and everything. But anyhow, I was at a game, not a club, all right? Can we just settle that? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to study this morning. And, I'm so grateful for what God's doing in our lives and in our church. And I hope that there's faith beginning to stir, arise in your life for what God desires to do in your life as he moves in our church and in our city. And in the past year, God began to speak some things and began to shape some things. And some of those things that he spoke to us were to begin to make room at the table. And to begin to strengthen the nets, because God desired to add to our family. And wasn't it awesome last week to celebrate some of those precious people that have given their life to Jesus and who have connected to our spiritual family? Come on, once again, if we're going to clap, let's clap for Jesus. He deserves a big round of applause. So awesome to just celebrate those people. And I just want to continue to encourage you. I'm sensing God doing something that's unique to this season. I've been in ministry for 15 years. I've worked in several churches, and I sense God's doing something unique and special here in this place. And it's a privilege and it's an honor to be a part of it. And what we've already experienced, I firmly believe this is just the beginning. There's an atmosphere that is building and beginning to emerge for faith for God to do some things in our lives, and faith for God to bring life and change and transformation to this city, and not just to this city, but to our region, and not just to this region, but to our nation. How many of you can sense some things beginning to shift in our nation? Come on, let me tell you, let me just encourage you. We can't take credit for it. We never should. It's all about God, but the prayers of the saints make a difference. And the faithful people of God crying out to God and praying and repenting and saying, "God, we're turning back to you," makes a difference. Some things are beginning to shift and change in the atmosphere over our city and over our nation. But it's just the beginning. I have a passion to see God move in this place and in this city in a way that brings about revival. And what that will be characterized by will be many people saved and healed and set free and strengthened and discipled and equipped to begin to discover and stand in God's very best plans and purposes for their life, even in the midst of obstacles and challenges. And not just to stand, but to begin to move forward in what God's called you to. And that's my heart for this church. And here, because it's my heart for this church, that's my heart for you. Every person, fully alive and shining brightly. Every person fully connected to the grace of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the freedom of God, the hope of God, the strength of God, the faith of God, fully alive and shining brightly. So as we're heading into 2017, God began to speak, activate. And so grateful for some of the things that he's already done and the way that you guys have leaned in and prayed and fasted and participated. He's calling us to active faith He's calling us to activate joy. He's calling us to actively step into some things, to begin to discover our voice, to begin to discover some ways that God's called us in the places he's already put us, to begin to make a difference and bring about the light of God's kingdom and to reveal and reflect Jesus in those places. He's calling us to an act of faith. Listen, God is on the move and he's doing something in our lives. So this morning, the title of my message is Activate Change. And it's actually, the message is completely geared towards you and me as individuals. There's some things that God will be doing in our church that will be changes, but that's not what the message is about. The message is about activating change in our own lives, lasting change, understanding that God's calling us to be and become some things. And that some of the things that he's called us to, we've already discovered. But there's some areas and things he's called you to that you're going to have to step out and step into faith. And some of that's going to require us to make some adjustments and make some changes. Listen to me this morning. Hear me this morning. Who you are today is not who God desires you to be tomorrow. Hear me this morning. Who you are today is not who God desires for you to be tomorrow. In the places in your life where you have struggles and you have challenges, God wants to rescue you. He wants to set you free. He wants to shine his light. He wants to cover you with his grace and his mercy. He wants to begin to help you to grow in those areas. In the places where you currently have victories and there's strength and there's success in your life, God's not finished with you in those places. What you've already experienced and encountered in God in the good ways, that's now just the foundation for what he wants to build in your life. Because what he's doing in our lives is not just about us. It's about the other people in our city, in our region. It's about the people who are still separated from God and desperate for solutions and hopeless and needing God. And so God, in the places where you've got challenges, God wants to begin to help you. In the places where you've already begun to experience the life of God and the freedom of God and the victory of God, God wants to begin to build upon the foundation of those things in your life. Listen, God's character never changes. But when I read the Bible, I read about a God who is on the move. I don't see any descriptors in the Bible that refer to God as stagnant or lifeless. It's all the opposite. God's on the move. Listen, just keep that in mind. Think about this. The Bible describes him as some of these things, a rushing mighty wind, a river of living water, a burning bush. He's not a monument. He's a movement. He's a cloud to follow by day. He's a pillar of fire by night. The word of God is described in Hebrews chapter 4 as living and active. Listen, God is on the move. And come on, can I get a witness? Aren't you glad he's on the move? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Come on, living with God and living by faith and walking by faith should be an exciting adventure, contrary to popular religious belief. Living with God and living by faith should be the most exciting life that you and I can ever hope to experience or imagine. And listen, if that's not present tense reality for you, just hang on and buckle up and just stay leaning in. Because God's beginning to do some things. God's going to begin to show you some things. God's going to begin to spark some things in your life. God's going to begin to renew some things in your life. God's going to begin to reveal some things in your life. God's going to begin to call you something. He's activating our faith. Listen, there's a power in believing in God, but there's even more in knowing God and in serving God and in building his kingdom. There are many who believe, but God's calling us to be a people of active faith, stepping out, dreaming with God, making a difference, discovering our voice, speaking into situations, speaking into circumstances, revealing and reflecting Jesus in the places that he's called us to. Active faith. Listen, we are called to live a life without limits, a life where challenges, because we're all going to face challenges, but where challenges are seen as opportunities for God to move. We should have faith to begin to engage in things that even seem impossible because we know we're called and we're filled and we're empowered by the God who's done impossible things before and he's willing and able to do them again. The God who brings the dead to life. Come on, we sang about this morning, but do we really believe it? God's moving and he's changing us. Listen, the urgent need for every one of us, the urgent need for each of us was to be saved from our sin and our guilt and our shame and the weight of all that was resting upon our shoulders and being separated from God. That's the urgent need that every one of us has. And that's the urgent need that many people in our community have. But the ultimate goal of God is to once he saved us and set us free and covered us with his love and his grace and his mercy, is to begin to breathe upon our life and to begin to form and fashion and shape and empower and strengthen to help us become mighty men and mighty women of God, called by his name and called to a purpose and making a difference in the lives of others. Can I get an amen this morning? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amening. The urgent need is for us to be saved, but God's not finished with us. He's not through. He's not through with us. What he began in our life, he's going to bring it to completion. He's changing us, but not just for the sake of change. Listen, God is not nitpicking our lives. He's transforming us and changing us because he's calling us, because he's called you to some things. He's called you to some things in your home. He's called you to some things as a parent. He's called you to some things as a husband and a wife. He's called you to some things in that workplace. He's called you. He's put some gifts and some things in your life that he's called you to connect to the kingdom of God and to bring about difference in the lives of people. He's calling you. He's not changing us just for the sake of changing us. He's changing us because he's calling us. He's changing us because he's calling us. And let me just settle a few things as we're talking about desiring to change and grow and become who God's called us to be. You cannot do anything to cause God to love you more than he loves you right now. You cannot do anything to cause God to love you more than he loves you right now. And if you ever fall into the trap of the enemy that we earn God's love and approval and acceptance, come on, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You cannot do, this is not about becoming better so that God will love us more. You cannot do anything to cause God to love you more. I want my kids to experience some things. I want my kids to grow into some things. I want my kids to take the foundation of faith that my wife and I carve out, that we've been blessed to have handed to us from our parents, and I want them to take it. I want my ceiling to become their floor. I want to hand some things off to them. I want the very best for them. But I love them the same, whether they're hitting the mark or whether they're stumbling along. I love them just the same. But I want more for them. You just got to see this morning. This is the heart of the Father for you. He loves you in an extravagant way. But he has some things in store for you that he wants to see you connect to. He has a life that he's calling you to, that where you begin to soar above and soar beyond some of those challenges and things that you've gotten stuck in. God loves you. Listen, the atmosphere of growth is an atmosphere of grace. Listen, the Holy Spirit brings conviction, but the Bible says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But can I tell you that, so the enemy traffics, the voice of the enemy traffics in condemnation, completely trying to weigh us down with guilt and shame because of the sin that we all have in our lives. But the Holy Spirit works in conviction, and they're close to one another. But so it's important, it's vital that you begin to distinguish and understand and discern the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction, coming and saying, "Come on, my child, I'm trying to get you back on track because that mindset, that behavior, that pattern of sin, that's not my best for you. I'm convicting you to get back on track to the life that I have for you. That's a good life filled with promise and filled with purpose." The enemy is trying to keep you trapped and wrapped up in guilt and shame and condemnation, but the Holy Spirit does work in conviction. So because God is calling us to some things, the Spirit of God is convicting us and bringing about some change in our life, revealing and shining a light on some things that got to change because of who God's called us to become. So here, I want to just get you involved a little bit this morning. I want you to look at one neighbor and say this, if I could change one thing about myself, go ahead right now, look at your neighbor, say, if I could change. Now look at your other neighbor and say, it would be. Now just look at me and don't say that thing. Come on, now just look at me. But I want you to think about what the answer to that might have been. All right, now look at your neighbor again and say, if I could change one thing about my spouse. Oh no, come on. Well, we just got to shut that down right there. That's going downhill fast. Some of you were excited to finish that sentence. Shame on you. Shame on you. listen, a new year is a time of making resolutions, and God's been speaking this message to me. And then we had Activate, and we had the ice storm, you know, and some things, and so I'm just getting into this. But the new year is a time to embrace the change of God in our life, and there's some things that are valid that we should be willing to just look into our life and say, God, what are some ways and some places and some things that I can do better and be better? A new year is often a time to make resolutions to change, but according to studies, this is what I researched and this is what I found. According to studies, only 8% of people will be able to keep their primary New Year's resolution. Only 8%. Now, I read that on the internet. It has to be true. Oh, that's actually a study done by Forbes, so pretty reputable. 8%, according to this study that they did, 8% of New Year's resolutions will be kept. That means 92%, over 9 out of 10 people will experience a failure in something that they're resolved to change in. And in fact, just recently I saw, and again, we're talking about how God desires for us to change, a change that's lasting, a change that makes a difference, a change that's on the inside of us. And just a week or two ago, I saw a social media post, and it said this. It said, it was one of those kind of corny social media posts, you know, and it said, say a little prayer today, because today is the day that, on average, there's the greatest number of suicide attempts. And it said, it went on to say, because today, on average, is the day in the calendar where the greatest number of people realize they will have failed at their New Year's resolution. Listen, is it possible that something's got to change about the way we go about trying to change? Something's got to change about the way we go about trying to change. 92% of it fails. But I believe that God's come and made a way. He's made it possible for us to experience change in a way that's lasting, in a way that's life-giving, in a way that connects us to more of his heart, in a way that connects us to more of his destiny, in a way that allows us to dream with him and begin to, not just dream, but begin to realize and connect to those dreams. Amen? So something's got to change about the way we change. Listen, we live in the world and its systems, but we're the people of God. We live in the world, but our citizenship is in heaven. Listen, we're just passing through this place. So we got to tap into some of the ways of God to really begin to change in the way that God wants us to. We live in the world. What really matters is, what can God bless? What does God deem a success? Listen, the world has all these standards and all these ideas about what it means and what it looks like to be deemed a success. But I'm telling you, all that matters is what God deems a success. All the things that you try to achieve, all the things you try, material things that we try to gather, listen, you're not taking it with you. I've never seen a hearse hauling a U-Haul. It's staying here. So that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. And the world has some ideas about what it means to be a success. And I want to contrast some of those things, because some of the ways that we can experience lasting change, we make resolutions, but in God's kingdom, it's better that we get a revelation. That is it possible some of the reasons resolutions fall short is because there's an absence of a revelation of what and why God is doing in our life. So the world calls us here. I'm going to contrast some things here. The system of the world that we live in and the heart of God towards you and towards me. The world calls us a success if we have power. The world is calling us to desire power. And in God's kingdom, the contrast to that is God's called you to a life of purpose. The world calls you to prestige and prominence. And God calls you to people. God calls you to people. And the world calls you to pursue position, oftentimes at any cost. You guys know what that system feels and looks like out there. People will step on anyone, say anything, do anything just to get the next promotion. And so the world is clamoring for position, but God's calling you to pursue his promises. Listen, he has a promise for your life. The word of God is filled with promises to those who will believe. The word of God is filled with promises to those who will make and keep God first in their life. The word of God is filled with promises to those who will seek first the kingdom of God. God is calling us to his promises. So let me just break down a few of these things. Again, we're talking about how to experience lasting change. Can we all acknowledge there's some things in our life that we would be better off, we'd be better positioned, we would be better servants of God, we'd be better husbands, we'd be better wives, we'd be better parents, we'd be financially better off. There's all these things that are valid areas that the Holy Spirit brings conviction and not condemnation to highlight and show us so we can change. Can we all agree there's at least one of those things in our life? Come on, show me your hands. Is it just me? If I could change one thing about myself, it would be, and I know there's a lot of different areas. So maybe some of us thought about things. I mean, there's just a lot of things that you could have thought about right there. So let's begin to break this down. Purpose. God's calling you to change because of the purpose that he's calling you to. The world calls you to power. God is calling you to purpose. God is not changing us for the sake of change. He's changing you because he's calling you. And the call of God is to build his kingdom. Listen, the foundational message of Jesus was this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Listen, we gotta break this down, this negative connotation surrounding the word repent. It just means to change. It means to change your thinking about something. It means to turn away from a previous thought, a previous behavior, a previous pattern, and begin to turn away from that. And when we turn away from something, it's impossible. It's physically impossible. You guys have seen me do this before. It's physically impossible to turn away from something without turning to something. And that it's summed up right there in that scripture. Repent, turn away, change your mind, change your thinking, for the kingdom of God is here. God's not calling you to change just for the sake of change. He's not nitpicking our life. He's not as much interested in just coming and just altering our behavior. He's interested in connecting us to his kingdom. God's calling you to a life of purpose. Listen, there's some valid things that we're called to change, but it should be about bringing God glory and becoming better prepared and effective to be a messenger and a builder of his kingdom. And so reason is an important heart of change. And if there's some reasons, I believe, that we desire to change that God just can't and won't bless. But the reason of desiring to become more effective and more prepared and more equipped to be a messenger of God's kingdom, that's a reason that God can bless. That's an invitation to invite the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit to come and begin to partner with you in the change that you desire to make. What do you talk about, Pastor T? Well, let me just give you a couple of examples. Becoming more physically fit and healthy. That's a good goal to have in your life. And it's a good thing to say, I want to take care of my body. Listen, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's a good goal to have. But if you approach it from the perspective of saying, listen, my goal in 2017 is to get more fit and to get more physically fit because I want to be a stud muffin at the gym. I want to look good for the people at the gym. And when I show up, I just want them to just kind of stop what they're doing and just notice who's just walked into the gym. And I'm getting ready for summer because I got to wear my short shorts, my short shirt. I got to show off the piercing that I have. You know, I mean, come on. I'm just saying. I'm just establishing, like, desiring to be physically fit, desiring to take care of your body, desiring to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. But if your heart in desiring that change is just to draw attention to yourself from the opposite sex, that's not really a goal that God can get behind and bless. But when your heart begins to change in your resolution and you begin to say and you begin to think, God's called me to steward this temple. God's called me to take care of myself so that I can be present for my wife and for my kids and for my grandkids. And I can begin to be, so I can be there to be a part of discipling and equipping and speaking over their life and prophesying over them and strengthening them to do and be who God's called and created them to be. That's the heart that God can bless. That's a reason for change that God can bless. That's a revelation that gets on the inside of you that empowers your resolution. It's a good thing to desire change in some of these areas. Listen, in the area of finance, you desire to be a better steward of your finance. You desire to pay off some debt. You desire to start saving money. Listen, all those things are good things, good resolutions to have. But listen, if your reason for having that resolution is so that you can become financially independent, it's not a goal that God can bless. If it's to get financially independent where you no longer have to depend upon God and put your faith and your trust and your hope in him as your provider, If you have a financial goal in your heart or in your mind that once you attain that, then you'll have peace in your heart. Then you'll have trust to step out and do something that God's called. God, I'll do it when I get this money saved up. That's when I'll step out and start to do the thing or build the ministry or give the gift or sow into the mission. It's a good thing to desire to get these things in order. But the reason for which you desire to see the change is what invites the power of God into your resolution. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. God wants to do it in your life. The pathway to lasting change is more of Jesus. Come on, if you just want to sum it up right there today, if there's one thing you remember this morning, the pathway to lasting change is more of Jesus in your life. That would be a good resolution to make. Matthew 6:33 says, more of me, more of God, more of my kingdom, more of my heart, more of my word, more of my spirit, more of my presence. That's the kingdom of God, more of God's kingdom. And he wants to do all these things for you. But how many of us get caught up in the trap of saying, God, if you'll just take care of these things, then I'll get about your business. You just take care of this stuff for me. You just give me a little bit more money. You just give me a title. You just give me a position. Then I'll get into it. God's saying more of me is the answer to everything you need. So the world calls us to power. God's called us to purpose. The world calls us to prestige and prominence, and God calls us to people. You're called to be a reflection of Jesus to others. The reason we should desire to change should always be to be able to become more like Jesus to those who are around us. I mean, come on, can you just hear this morning? There will be positions and titles that the calling of God connects you to. But your heart should always be the people that your purpose is trying to connect you to. I don't do what I do because I just wanted to become a pastor. I do what I do because I want to see the people, the precious people of God, encounter Jesus in a way that brings life and hope and freedom and strength to them. And the passion to pursue that and connect it to people is the reason that I'm in the position that I'm in. But if I ever get too focused on just holding on to a position or a title and I lose sight of the fact that the anointing and the calling of God in my life is all about his desire to connect with people, I'll begin to miss the mark. The world calls you to prestige and prominence. God's called you to touch people. Jesus is our model and he's our standard. He wasn't afraid of the dirt of this world and the dirt of our lives. He came down from heaven. He laid it all down. And he got right up in this big mess. And he brought about life and he brought about hope and he brought about freedom. And now he's our standard. He's our example. Listen, quit comparing yourself to others. You're not called to be like someone else and you're not called to do what they're called to do. God made you special. God made you unique. And I know it sounds cliche in church, but it's true. God's called you to something, and it's not what someone else has been called to, and the pathway to it is not the pathway that they'll take. Quit comparing yourself. It's one of the greatest ways that we set ourselves up for disappointment and for hurt is we compare ourselves. We look at what God's doing in someone else's life. We say, God, if I only was that person, can I just tell you, if you found yourself in that place, and this might sound harsh, but I believe that there's freedom to be found in it today. If you'll just hear what I'm saying in an atmosphere of grace. If you've bitten into that lie, if you've compared yourself with others, would you just repent? Is it possible that that's one of the greatest ways we sin against God? Is he's made us a certain way, and he knows how he's made us, and he's put gifts and talents and abilities and calling and purpose and destiny into your life, and we take it for granted, and instead we get caught up in what God's doing in someone else's life, and we begin to compare ourselves. I believe God's just looking down, just saying, come on, just get set free of that today. Just get set free of that today. Just embrace the call of God on your life and who I've called you to be, and begin to discover freedom and joy in who you are. Not worrying about what someone else looks like or what someone else, the gifting that they have or the calling that they have. Listen, God's called you to do something special. Every one of you. Don't get caught up in comparison. Listen, true and lasting change happens on the inside of us.
we look at all the superficial things. And we get caught up in trying to modify our behavior or just make adjustments to just kind of get a little bit more, keep up with the Joneses. And God's interested in coming in and just doing a work in a deep place, in a deep way in your heart. He doesn't desire for you to look more like that person or that neighbor or that TV personality or that reality star or that personality on social media. He desires you for you to look more like Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus was nothing to behold. There was nothing fancy about him on the outside. When Judas came to betray him, he had to kiss him to identify who he was. There was nothing about him that caused him to stand out in the crowd. Judas wasn't able to say, hey, when we show up on the scene, he's a real tall, handsome, good-looking guy with a six-pack abs. He just fit in, right, with the other disciples, all these common guys who had just given their heart and their life over to God. Judas had to come up and kiss him. Quit comparing yourself to the standards of the world. God wants to do something on the inside of you. Is it possible that that's one way we need to begin to embrace change in a new way? Is it possible that that's one way that the way we go about change has got to change? God desires to change our heart. We talked about it last week, the issues. Guard your heart above all else, for the issues of life flow out of it. God's calling you to become more like Jesus. God's calling you to promises. God's calling you to his promises. Listen, there are promises in God's word for everyone that believes. There are promises in God's word for people who will seek him and make him and put him first. The world calls you to pursue position. And again, oftentimes at all costs, God is calling you to discover and pursue his promise for your life. Listen, the promises of God point us. The promises of God direct us. The promises of God help to shape the life that God desires for you to live. What do you mean, Pastor Tebow? I'm glad you asked. Listen, there's a promise. We often read these as commands, but they're invitations to participate and partake in the promises of God. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together. Forgive, and it will be forgiven of you. Listen, these are promises of God. It's a good thing to receive from men to pour into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's a good promise. That's a promise of God. It's good to be forgiven and found forgiven. That's a promise of God. The promises of God are leading us to the life that God wants us to live. These are not just commands. These are invitations. Given it shall be given. Forgiven it shall be forgiven you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And there's a huge promise on the back half of that. And all the other things about your life, the cares, the concerns, the needs, the wants, the dreams, the desires shall be given to you. Promises of God keep us on path. But here's what you got to understand about it. About the pathway to God's promises, there's almost always going to be pitfalls. Listen, the life of a Christian was never promised to be easy. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite. You're going to encounter opposition. You're going to encounter resistance. And you must build into your faith a commitment to understand that you've got to beware the deception of the world, where the challenges of a temporal life in a fallen world cause us to forfeit the promises of an eternal God. There will almost always be a process to obtaining the promises of God. And sometimes, hear me this morning, sometimes the process that God's taking you through is the objective. Sometimes God's more concerned about what he's doing in your heart than getting you to that thing. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, light affliction. We're going through light affliction. But the promise on the back half of that is that it's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. So you got to understand, as you're beginning to change and beginning to reach and beginning to strive and beginning to live out and activate your faith towards the promises of God, there will be a process. And in that process, there might be some pain. Listen, some of us have been through some stuff. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. But listen to me, friends. Listen, hear me this morning. If you're here today under the sound of my voice, you're still standing. You're still standing. Those things that the enemy's tried to come and he's tried to take you out, he's tried to cut you off, he's tried to isolate you, separate you, and destroy you. Listen, the Bible says that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, whom he may devour. He's trying to kill you. And I'm not talking about just trying to kill your joy or kill your happiness. He's trying to take you out. I'm still standing. Come on, I've been through some stuff, but I'm still standing. You've been through some stuff, but you're still standing. There's a process that God's got you through to inherit the promises, and God's with you in the process. God's with you on the journey. Listen, it bears repeating. I said it last week. You can't control some of the things that you go through, but you can determine what you choose to call it. And I shared them last week, but come on, this is worth repeating this morning. Some of you will be hearing it for the first time. When I go through failure, I choose to call it a learning opportunity. When I experience weakness in any way, shape, or form, I choose to say, listen, that's an opportunity for the strength of God to show up in my life. When I make mistakes, I say, listen, that's a canvas to display the glory of God's grace. When I go through delays, something that I really, really, really want to see God do in my life, and I wanted it to happen yesterday, but it still hasn't happened, I choose to say it's a God that cares so much about me. He's taking me through a season of preparation because the thing that he wants to connect me to is greater than I could ever have asked, thought, or imagined. A season of delay is a season of preparation. Disappointment is God's protection, and it's his way to connect you to his better plans. Trials, troubles, and tests. Opportunities for testimonies. I said it last week, but again, it bears repeating. You can't even spell testimony without the word test. You got to go through the first part of that to get to the testimony. You got to go through the test to get to the testimony. Some of us want a testimony, but we don't understand that God's going to take us through some tests. God's going to take us through some process. God's going to take us through some journeys. Listen, David received the promise of God to be king as a boy, but he had lions and bears to kill. He had a giant to slay. He had a cave to endure. Joseph had the promise to become a ruler in the earth in his life, but as a 17-year-old kid, but before he could get there, he had to endure the pit, sold into slavery by even the people that were supposed to love him the most. He had to endure serving in a palace. He had to endure being wrongfully accused and thrown into the prison. Listen, there's a process that God's taking you through to connect you to the promises of God. He's working in our lives. He's changing us. He's building and he's strengthening foundations. Again, he's not changing us just for the sake of changing us. In an atmosphere of grace, in an atmosphere of grace that compels us to grow, he's changing us because he's laying foundations in our life because he wants to build something significant upon who he is in our lives. Can I ask the worship team to come up? I want us to close this morning with a song and listen, one of the first things that we have to do to experience the change is embrace the change. To really get the more of God, for some of us today, there's just a decision that we need to make that that's what we want in our life. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's something about just making a decision and saying, Lord, there's all kinds of things, all these appetites I have in my life. But I'm making a decision this morning to say, the thing I want the most is more of Jesus in my life. The resolution that's moving to the top of my list amidst all the other things, all the stuff that needs to change, all the things I need to do better at is just more of God. More of Jesus in my life, and I'm willing to go through the process of the change. Listen, this ironing board is up here as an example. You're seeing right there why I hate this thing. So here's what this is. This is the original ironing board that we got when we were married 12 years ago, my beautiful wife, Amity, and I. And just about a lot of the things in our house, you can kind of come walk through our house and you know how old it is. It's 12 years old because we got it when we were married. But this thing for about 3 or 4 years, and here, let me just tell you some things here this morning. I knew when I got this out here, this was a little bit of a risky proposition because Amity does most of the ironing in our house and I'm about to use it as an example. So don't get the wrong idea. Like, I do like maybe 10% of the ironing in our house. And Amity was not as offended by this thing as I was. But during that time, I mean, here I am, a big baby, you know. I mean, I'm doing 10% of the ironing, and I'm complaining about our ironing board, you know. But I don't understand this thing. Like, why do they all have to squeak so loud when you open them? You know, that sound that they all make, you know? And this thing became, it just became like rickety. Like, it's, and it's important for it to be stable because you're putting a scalding hot metal object with a pointed end on it, you know? With a trip cord, you know, down to the outlet. And this thing was constantly, I mean, when I would iron, and for about 3 years, I would just say, baby, can't we get another ironing board? And she would say, it doesn't bother me. It bothers you. Why don't you just go get one? Here's the moral of it this morning. I was more interested in complaining about the situation. But for about 3 years, I was unwilling to just go to Walmart and get another one. My wonderful wife finally got sick and tired of my griping and complaining during the 10% of the ironing that I would do. And she actually went to Walmart for me. Come on, this is the atmosphere of grace. She went to Walmart for us, and she bought a new one. And so the other day, I was bringing this up to the church to throw it in the dumpster. And I was about to throw it in there, and the Holy Spirit said, you should save that and use that as an example in your message this week. Don't be so stubborn that life requires a great deal of pain before you begin to embrace God's change. It would have taken me, I mean, if I took for three, listen, we packed this crazy thing in a U-Haul and moved it from Texas. We should have chunked this thing, you know, $20 and a 2-mile drive to Walmart, and I could have had one in 20 minutes. And I spent who knows how many hours just complaining about this thing every time. Listen, where in your life is there a rusty old, sorry ironing board that you've just allowed to remain in your life? And today God's saying, come on, just turn it over to me. Just have faith for me to do something new in your life. Just have faith for me. Quit bandaging it up and patching it up. Quit putting duct tape on that thing. Just allow me. Listen, God doesn't make things less dead. He makes things fully alive. We serve the God whose resurrection power is quickening us. The same power, the same spirit that moved Christ Jesus and raised him from the dead is now moving us. And a lot of times we kind of just patch things up in our life and we just kind of get by. And this morning I'm just saying there's faith in somebody's heart. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's faith in somebody's heart. And God's highlighting something. The one thing I wish I could change about myself is God's given you faith to understand that he doesn't want to just alter your behavior. He doesn't just want to patch that thing up. He wants to crucify it, and he wants to bring resurrection life. He wants to bring, listen, the path to changing your thought and changing your life is not just altering it or just trying to keep it down. It's replacing it with a better thing. It's repent for the kingdom of God. It's turn your mind, change your attitude, turn from this thing, for there's something much better and higher and greater that I'm calling you to. Come on, can the people of God just stand to your feet today? Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Here's what I want to do. Come on, that after I thought about like taking this thing and trying to like go all John Jacobs and the power team and like break it over my leg or something, you know, but I just knew that it would somehow like a part would fly off and hit me in the eye or something. All right, I want the team to lead us in this song. I know we're going a few minutes late, but here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'll invite the prayer team down later, but right now, if there's an area in your life that you need to see the change of God, the grace of God move in your life, as the team leads us in this song, I'm going to get this thing out of your sight here. Would you just come out from your seat and just come to the front? And you're not responding to any person. We'll give people an opportunity to respond to prayer partners here in a minute, but you're just responding to God. Just saying, God, I understand you're working and you're moving in my life. You're not finished with me. You started some things in my life, and I'm embracing the process that you're taking me through to help me become the man of God you've called me to be, to help me become the husband you've called me to be, to help me become the wife you've called me to be, ladies, to help me become the person you've called, the parent you call, the minister of God, whatever it is that God's calling you to. So let's team lead us in this song. And as they lead, I just want to give you the freedom to just step out, make your way to the front, and respond to God as you sing this in faith. And then, Eli, I want to step back up and dismiss us here in a minute.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Hey, I want to read this to you as we close today. I know we're a little over, but just hear me out. John 8, 34 through 36 says this. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of a family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. So our Jesus has set us free. And those of you that came down here today and laid things at the altar, God has set you free, and you are free indeed. No longer slaves of sin, but children of God. Amen? Amen. Well, can we get the prayer team up here? And if you are still up here and you want someone to pray for you, just raise your hand. Anyone else that needs prayer for any area of life, for yourself or family, please come up and connect with somebody that will pray for you and stand with you. God bless you guys. Please don't pass through the halls without stopping and just connecting, seeing what's out there to connect to more of what God has for you in this church. We love you. Have a great week. God bless.